12 through 13. Sister Laquita, can you do that one? Okay, thank you. That was a long one. So the Lord is speaking to the Israelites here, to his people, and he basically tells them, if you follow my commands, you're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be the leader, not the follower. You're going to be the master and not the servant, right? So these principles let us know that, you know, we are to lead. We are to be free, right, from debt. And so why is it do we go into debt? What there, you know, there are some life circumstances that happen that can lead to debt. There's some real reasons that debt can happen, and I'm not discounting that at all. Okay, so please don't think that I am. But one of the reasons that we get into debt is simply because we overspend. How many of you have ever overspent? Yes, I think we all have. If you say you haven't, I don't know if I believe you. I think that you might be telling a fib. So Proverbs 25 and 28. Sister Carrie, can you get that one? So he that doesn't have rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and has no walls. Do you want to be a broken down city with no walls? No walls, as Sister Fable just said, is you're unprotected, right? First of all, you're broken down, and now you're unprotected, right? I don't want to live my life like that. I'd rather rule and take charge and crucify this flesh, right, and live within my means than to be opened up for attack. Okay, the Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Sister Tammy, can you do those? Okay, so a lot of times we overspend because we're what? We want treasures, right? We want that shiny new car that smells so good inside. Every time I get in Stephanie's car, I long for a new car because it still has that scent. So we want that shiny car. We want, you know, that new Coach purse that costs $500. We want new shoes or, you know, whatever it might be. We want the newest tool to repair our cars, you know, whatever it might be. So a lot of times our desire for those material things cause us to go into debt because we're allowing that desire to rule rather than us ruling our own selves, right? And so when we overspend, that can definitely lead to debt. Okay, the other thing that can lead to debt is when we don't count the cost accurately. Okay, Luke 14, 28 through 29. And then Brooke, can you read that? Okay. So can you think of an example of something that you might purchase or you might want to do and not consider all of the expenses? A good one would be a vacation, okay? You don't really count all the cost. You got the hotel, you know, you got the car rental, and you've thought a little bit about what it's going to cost to eat, right? But when you get there, you still need some spending money, right? There might be some attractions that you want to see. Those food costs might cost more. If you have children, you're stopping at the gas station all the time and they're begging for candy and chips and drinks, right? So sometimes that can happen. Overspending can happen because you don't quite count the cost properly. So we have to be prudent to make sure that we are doing our best to count all costs. You know, sometimes people will buy a car, okay? They haven't had a new car in a while. They'll go and they'll buy a new car, but they're not thinking about the insurance that they're going to have to pay. You know, when we were looking for cars, the first thing I wanted to know is how much is the insurance going to be for this car? How much more am I going to have to pay? You know, and some people are just looking at that shiny car. I'm going to get that car. I think I can afford, you know, $350. But they haven't even considered the additional costs that come with that car. Okay, so we need to be prudent and make sure that we're counting costs accurately. And then emergencies, right? Emergencies can lead to debt, especially if you don't have savings. Or especially if you're like these people in this case study, they don't have any room for an emergency, do they? Their expenses after their, or their income after their expenses is zero. So if they had an emergency, they would be in trouble. More than likely, they'd have to use that credit card that they have, right? And go deeper and further into debt. So Proverbs 21 and 5, I'm going to read this one in the Amplified. It says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance and advantage." The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance and advantage. So I want to be diligent. I want to be diligent, and I want to prepare for emergencies, right? And we'll talk about how to do that in a little bit. But if we're diligent, if we're looking ahead and considering possibilities that may arise and we prepare for them, then that will probably keep us out of debt. Okay? All right, so let's look at some practical applications. This one is very, very practical. Don't spend more than your budget allows. You can't get more practical than that. You don't have it, don't spend it. Right? Say it with me. I don't have it, so I don't spend it. All right, don't spend money that you don't have. Okay? Exercise self-control. Once you set a budget, stick to it. Okay? You're not going to be perfect that first month. Sister Candy would probably know the people that she has done budgeting 3 months. Okay, so it takes about 3 months to perfect it. Thank you. So exercise self-control, stick to it the best you can, and hopefully that fourth month comes around and you got it, okay? And get an accountability partner to help you, okay? Get an accountability partner. And I don't think your spouse is a good accountability partner, right? Because, you know, you might be like, oh, yeah, we know this budget and it's been kind of difficult, but let's just go out to dinner. You know, we work so hard, sticking to this budget. I think we deserve, you know, to go out to dinner together. We know it's not in our budget, but just this one time. So get an accountability partner that is not your spouse. Okay, this is another practical application. So at H&R Block, we have this prepaid card that we offer our clients to put their money on. And so I know that H&R Block, that's not the only card. There's many cards out there, these prepaid cards. It's like through online banking or whatever. So you can load money onto these cards. So if you're having trouble being accountable, you might want to load your spending money on one of those cards. And then once the money's gone, it's gone. You can't spend anymore. Okay, it's either that or you can have some cash, right? You can liquidate your spending money and have it, you know, I have a little bit of a, not fear, but in my mind, it's not wise to keep cash at home. So I would not personally use cash. But I do know the times that I have had cash, I didn't want to use it. Have you ever been there? Like, oh, I have this $20 bill. I'm going to really save it until it's something I really want. Have any of you ever done that? Do I really want to spend, you know, this $20 bill at Dunkin' Donuts? Whereas if you have your debit card, swipe, or if you have the little app on your phone, scan the app, right? It's very easy to do. So my suggestion, again, is to have your spending money in the form of cash or use a prepaid debit card. Okay. I'm sure there's some other options that might be out there as well, or some other ideas that you might have. And remember that self-control, which is temperance, is the fruit of the Spirit, right? So this is a spiritual thing. Overspending can be a spiritual thing, right? At the root, we're living beyond our means. There's a reason for that. There's something in our heart, you know, that is wanting, and not resting perfectly in our Lord. And so we want to strive for the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And temperance, which is self-control, is one of them. And also remember that material things do not satisfy. They might satisfy for a week or two, but after that, it's gone. And you're left wanting again, right? And so remember, material things do not satisfy. Only the Lord can satisfy us. Okay, and also another reason that people may get into debt is because of comparing themselves to other people, right? You want what the Joneses have, right? You're looking over the fence, and the grass seems greener over there. You know, they got that. Well, I need to have that. My sister told me about a couple in their church. I shouldn't say this. You don't know them. They're all the way in Florida. But they got brother-in-law and sister had gotten a new vehicle, and they said like a week or two later, their friends, you know, they had seen the car, and they went out and got a new vehicle, which they didn't even need. But I think it's the new car smell. It might be like a drug that, you know, pulls you into wanting something new. But you know, don't worry about the Joneses. You worry about you, right? Don't look to the left, don't look to the right, because that will cause discontentment, which can lead to overspending, right? We keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. We are grateful for what he has given to us and live within the means that he has given to us. That is pleasing to the Lord. Okay, so real quick, I'm running out of time. Count the true cost. We talked about that a little bit already. But consider all costs of the purchase. And as I said before, the car, when you buy a car, it comes with car insurance, right? You also have to consider the gas per miles. You know, if you buy this big, is it a 350, Ford 350 truck? Is there such a thing? Well, what do you think the gas is going to cost? Especially nowadays. If you go from a little four-door sedan and you buy this giant truck, well, you probably just quadrupled your gas bill for the month, right? In addition to the extra insurance and the maintenance, right? So you want to consider all of the cost. If you're thinking about purchasing a new home, you better look and see what the insurance is going to be, and you also better find out what the property taxes are going to be, right? Those are some huge additional expenses that you're going to have, and the repairs and the maintenance that comes along with that. So we really need to be mindful and think about these things and make sure that we're being prudent and looking at all of those additional costs. If you get a new pet, Sister Rocio just got a puppy. Well, there's a cost with puppies. Yes, vet bills. Have you had any vet bills yet? A little. Yeah, so there's vet bills. There's dog food, right? If you're going to buy the dog little outfits, you know, whatever else there might be. So think through these purchases, okay? And then planning for emergencies. Again, I already said have an emergency savings account. And if we look at our case study, again, they have zero left after their bills. So how can you get, How can you build an emergency savings account when you don't have any money left in your budget? So here are just a couple of things that you could consider. The first thing I would ask you is, what did you do with your stimulus money? Did we all get stimulus money? Well, yeah, there was an income limit, right? If you made a certain income, you didn't get any stimulus money. But for those of us who did, think about that. What did I do with my stimulus money? If your budget's tight, did you use it to buy a bunch of material things? Things that had temporary satisfaction? Did you put it in a savings account? Did you pay down your debt? Did you invest it in your home? Maybe did some repairs that you knew that needed done? Did you maybe put it to the side because you knew your washing machine was about to break pretty soon? You know, it's kind of getting old and rusty. So, you know, think about that. What did you do with that? But that would have been a great opportunity for this couple in the case study to build their emergency savings account, right? And the other thing that you could use is your tax refund. What did you do with your tax refund? Did you spend it frivolously, or did you use it wisely? Pay down debt, saving it, or using it for some work that needed done. Okay, so where there is a will, there is a way. Okay, if you don't see a way, if you have the will, but you don't see a way, there are financial counselors here that can help you. Sister Candy is one of them, I believe Brother Nicholas. So they would be more than happy to help you. So don't be afraid to ask. Okay, we want to help each other, right? Right? We want to help each other, and we want everybody, you know, to be free from debt. And it's not, don't be embarrassed. If you're struggling, don't be embarrassed. We love each other, right? And we hold no judgment towards one another. And it's our goal that we are, you know, that we help one another, love one another, and make sure that we're out of debt. Okay, so how do I get out of debt? So if you're in debt and you want to get out of debt, let's talk about some quick principles here. Okay, so if you're in debt, you want to get out of debt, make a plan. Make a plan to get out of the debt as soon as possible. If you have debt, you need to get out of debt. If I have debt, I need to get out of debt. Okay? And I do, that was the thing I was going to tell you about earlier. I do have a little bit of debt. And I'm trying to see that clock and oh, good gravy. Sister Candy will attest to the fact we had been out of our debt other than our house for about, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years. And we had a problem with the our family room. The way that it's built, there's like 6 inches between the floor and the cement. And whenever it would rain really bad, that would fill up with water. Our yard would flood up to our shins. That water would come down underneath the floor. And every time it would rain, I'd think, oh, Lord, please, please don't let that water come up over the floor. And so that had weighed on me for years, and it was always a problem. And which I know it was the Lord, some interactions with one of my clients that I have, I decided it's time. It's time to get this fixed. Well, it was pretty costly. It was a pretty costly expense. And I went to Sister Candy in angst. I'm like, man, we got out of debt. And the idea of getting back into debt makes me sick. But I know that if I flood, it's going to be more costly. It's going to be a bigger expense. And so I knew it had to be done, and I talked to the Lord about it, and I just was really struggling with it for a while. And one day in prayer, the Lord just dropped it right in my head and gave me the plan of how I was going to pay it, how I was going to pay that debt off. And it's just a matter of 2.5 years. And so that's how I knew that it was okay to incur that debt. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is not all debt is bad. You know, we do need cars to drive, right? We do need homes to live in. And there are certain things that, you know, emergencies, big repairs, that we might have to incur debt. So the thing, the key about it is to be prayerful and talk to the Lord about it. Okay? I think Dave Ramsey says absolutely no debt. I'm not as, you know, this is Sister Ann talking to you, Ann Haney, and what I have experienced. So again, if you differ with me in that, that's fine. No problem. But this has been my personal experience, and the Lord is helping me, and that debt will be gone by the end of next year. Okay, so I will be debt free again until I have to get a car, which is coming up within the next couple of years. Okay, so how else can you get out of debt? You need to cut costs, right? In the budget, somewhere in your budget, you can cut costs. My children, I called home when I was in Florida, and Luke, I was calling to see how things were going, and Luke's like, oh, you know, things are going great, yada, yada. He said, but there's one thing really bothering me, Mom. And I said, what's that, Luke? He said, it's freezing in this house. I guess like it had dropped down to the 30s and 40s here, and I didn't turn the heat on before I left. And if you've been to my house, you know that I keep the heat very low. I keep it like on 65. And so when people come to my house, they're freezing. So I tell them, put on a hoodie, put on some socks, because I'm cutting costs, right? You'll be okay. You're not going to get sick and die. So be prepared if you come to Sister Ann's house, because I'm cutting costs. You can cut costs by groceries, stop shopping at Whole Foods, and go to Aldi. Okay? Stop buying the steaks and buy some chicken, right? There's all areas that we can cut back in. Do you have subscriptions, magazines, Hulu, Netflix? Get rid of them. Buy an antenna for the television if you have to have some kind of entertainment. Stop eating out. Buy generics. Buy generics. Don't buy the Campbell soup. Buy the Aldi brand soup. Okay. Use coupons. Anybody use coupons? That used to be big a few years ago. They're kind of cutting back on that. Okay. I'm going to skip some of this because we have like 3 minutes. So cut costs. You may have to get a side hustle. Anybody ever have a side hustle? Okay. So there's Uber. There's Instacart. Right? There's seasonal retail. Christmas is coming up. Kohl's is hiring. Target is hiring. It might not be fun. It might not be something you want to do, but it's something that you probably need to do. If you can't find the income anywhere else, the money to pay off the debt anywhere else, then you have to generate more income. If you have a bunch of designer purses or shoes, clothes, sell it on eBay. I did that for a while. Made some good money on that. Have a garage sale. You got something big in your home that you want to sell. There's something called Facebook Marketplace my sister uses all the time. There's many options. And again, use your tax refund or a bonus to pay down the debt. Something to consider is if you have a 401k, you have money in there and you are in debt, then Ann Haney's suggestion is, take the money out of the 401k and pay the debt. Why are you saving for the future when you are overwhelmed with debt now? Okay? 401k, or simply, if you don't take it out, stop it. Stop it and use that money to pay down your debt. Now, with your 401k, if you take the money out early, you're going to be hit with penalties and taxes. Okay, but there is something that you can do, which is you can borrow against your 401k interest-free. So the money that they are taking out monthly is paying back what you borrowed. So that would be a little bit more cost-effective. So there are ways. But most importantly, James 1 and 5. Brooke, can you read that one again? Okay, so if you want to get out of debt, then the first conversation needs to be with the Lord, that the Lord would give you wisdom. And I'm telling you, the Lord will tell you exactly how to do it. He will tell you exactly how to do it, whether he tells you himself or whether he tells you through a financial counselor. But he will tell you because it's his will, right? It's his will that we be the lender and not the borrower. Okay, I feel like Pastor Anthony's going to have to give me a part two. Okay, let's go ahead and finish the case study. Let's do that. I have a bunch of practical tips here, but we're not going to get to them. Okay, we left off on the last question on that page there. So we know that they're not paying offering. How could they fit offering in their budget? First of all, if we don't give offering, we're robbing God, right? So do they have an option? No, if they're disciples of Christ, there's no option. They need to give in the offering. So looking at their expenses, what are some quick suggestions that they can do? Sister Nett? Okay, you don't need new clothes every month. Right, I agree, although that one's hard for me. But you don't. We absolutely don't. If the children of Israel can wander around in the desert for 40 years with the same shoes and the same clothes, I'm sure we could get along for a while, right? What else? Yeah, get rid of their entertainment. Get a book. Go to the library and get a book. Read your Bible. Find a better cell phone plan. Yeah, $180 for two people. They probably got the newest iPhone and they're paying a big amount. Yeah, most utility companies have a budget plan that won't fluctuate except once a year, right? And so that might be an option. And Sister Ann's option is turn the heat down. Put a hoodie on. Okay, you don't have to have it 75 in your house. Good gravy. 75, it's hot in there. Knock it down. What else? The cable bill. Yeah, they have cable and, you know, the internet. You know, you can watch things on the internet, right? You don't necessarily need cable. You can go buy, like I said, the rabbit ears and attach that to your television. Say that again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything else there? Yep, get a different cell phone plan. And what about the grocery bill? If I would have asked you this a year ago, your response would probably be different. But $500 nowadays might seem reasonable for two people for a month. Yeah. Gotcha. But now if we're traveling from store to store to store, what do we got to pay for? Gas. We got to count all of the costs, right? Count all of the costs. Okay. On the back page here, real quick, three more here. We didn't talk about this. There's two methods, I call it, two Sister Ann methods for paying or for giving your offering. There's the percentage method and a set amount. So there's really three: percentage, set amount, or a combination of both. Okay, so a percentage is to purpose a percent of your income in offering. Okay, the other, the set amount, is to purpose a specific amount. Okay, I prefer the percentage amount simply because if my income fluctuates, you know, if it goes up, I want to be able to give more to the Lord. And if my income goes down and my expenses stay the same, it just kind of, you know, flows together there. And I do have a seasonal job. So I work, I do taxes, so I'm working from January to mid-April. So it just, that the percentage works for me. But I do a combination of both, actually. So I purpose a set amount for missions, and for, what's the other? Kingdom invest, so my kingdom investment is a percentage, and then my missions is a set amount. So I do both, a combination of both. And what I do is when I'm working, I pay in advance that missions in one full chunk. I get it over with. So it's not included in my monthly bills. So I use a combination of both. But you really should determine which method you're going to use. As pastors spoke when I listened to the message, he said, we need to be purposeful. Right? This couple here, they need to purpose what they're going to give. And there are several different offering accounts that we can give to. There's the general offering. There's missions, which goes to the missionaries. There's Mother's Memorial. Kingdom Investment. Christmas for Christ. You know, some of these funds, you know, they're here all the time. Others are yearly, like Mother's Memorial and Christmas for Christ. But you need to be purposeful, okay, when considering which account you're going to give to. And so if you look on Realm, if you pay your tithe and offering on Realm, if you just hit the little drop-down box, you can see the different categories. Okay, but if you're giving in an envelope, you can designate on the envelope, whether it's missions, kingdom investment, Mother's Memorial, you just write that in on the envelope there. Oh, I wish I had more time to tell you more about that. Okay, so which method do you think that this family should use? And why? Okay. So first of all, they're going to have to make room in their budget, right? They're going to have to sit down and have a conversation and say, hey, we have got to make room in this budget. What are we going to spend less on? And it may be more than one category. You know, if you do it over multiple categories, then the blow's not so bad, right? Unless you can just get it all out with, you know, the cable bill. That would be nice. We're going to give up cable so we can give $125 in offering. Right? Amen. Is it because of the cable or just to be able to give? Okay, so for them, I mean, there really is no right or wrong answer, whether it's a percentage or a set amount. Really, I think for them at this point, it might be a set amount. Right? Just simply until they can start fitting it, you know, and making it work and making sure that they can get their expenses down. Okay, this couple, they're considering having children soon. Okay, they're one of the principles here is that we need to be looking ahead, right? In our finances, you know, we have the here and now, we have the day-to-day expenses, but we also need to be looking ahead of what expenses might we have in the future. So this family's thinking about having children. What additional costs are going to come with that? $10,000, Sister Annette said. But there's going to be what? Formula, diapers, clothes, swings, car seats. Do they have room for that right now? No. Well, if they're going to, you know, wanting to have children, they need to start considering that, right? They need to start considering that. And if that's something really that they want, then what would be a good thing for them to do? Get a second job. Right on, sister. So the wife is currently working part-time, right? So maybe she needs to work full-time for a little bit to get out of that debt, to pay off that car, to get rid of that credit card, right? If they got rid of the credit card debt and the car, how much money would that free up? Yeah, it was, what, 320-something, and, yeah, and got rid of the cable. Well, they're going to use that for their mission or for their offering. Okay. Go ahead, sister. Mm-hmm. Yep, and maybe the husband can drop the wife off at work or vice versa and use the one car. Absolutely. Okay, and then lastly, what future changes? And child aside, but what are some things that they should be considering in their lives that aren't necessarily happening now? Like if they're being prudent and they're being diligent, yeah, starting a savings account, an emergency fund and a savings account, retirement. Okay, before we get to retirement, though, what else? So the emergency, of course, would cover, like, if something breaks down. But what are they going to do about their house? Eventually, what happens to homes? Yeah, there's maintenance, right? So how old is their roof? How old is the siding? How old is the water heater? The furnace? Right? So these things should be on their mind. You know, we've lived here 15 years now. We never got a roof. We're going to be needing a roof pretty soon. Right? So it's looking ahead, being diligent, being prudent, and looking ahead at what expenses might come. Okay? So that's all a part of biblical budgeting. And I am so upset. I only got through half of my notes, but we're going to stop here. I was going to do a Q&A. You guys can feel free to ask me anything afterwards or throughout the week. I would be more than happy to help you. Sister Candy would be more than happy to help you with your budget. Brother Nicholas, I am a little bit more liberal in my budgeting than Sister Candy. I will tell you that right now because I do like a new dress every once in a while. I do like a new pair of shoes every once in a while. Sister Candy will have you in the same outfit for years and years. So depending on what time of help you need, consider that. All right, I love you all, and if we would just stand and let's just thank the Lord for His.